Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for international Jewish evangelist, Reverend Joseph Cohen, who will bring to us the word of God today.
You want to stand up, please? Hallelujah. Now you want to sit down, please. Now you want to stand up for Jesus, please. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Bishop, for allowing me to come and to break bread with the family of God, especially since we never met. That means you're a man of faith who knows when the Spirit's talking. I have a feedback. Who knows when the Spirit's talking? The Spirit hits Spirit. So we thank you for that, and We also salute your wife, and we salute all those deacons or elders in the church here who make this fellowship what it is. You can't move a boulder with one hand. Without you, Bishop can't do what God's called him to do. Amen. Before I preach the word, I'm going to introduce Reverend Benjamin, who works with me, been traveling with me for many years. See, if you look at me, you can't judge a book by its cover. See, it's always good to meet new family. I said it's always good to meet new family. Amen. Because whether you like it or not, if you're born again, we are family. Amen. The only difference is we got a different mama. Amen. But we got the same father. Amen. So when you look at this short, fat Jew, you probably think that I'm like maybe working a shoe factory, or maybe that I'm somebody who is like a salesman in a store or something like that. But I let you know that I am a Caribbean. Yeah, full-fledged, too. I know most of you probably are from Jamaica. Is there anybody here from Trinidad? Usually we have one. There you are. Two. Three, four, hallelujah. I've been 6 times to your country. Preached in all parts of your country except real down south. God willing, I'll be going back in November. That's where I became a Caribbean. I'm a full-fledged Caribbean because I finally was able to master the pepper after my 6th trip to Trinidad. Hallelujah. See, when I preach for my, do you know Pastor Olive? Pastor Olive over in Bedford Avenue. Pastor Olive's a wonderful man from St. Vincent. You got St. Vincent too, all right. Soon as they finish the airport, we're going. He says, we're going. I'm not going by Lidl this here and go all over and take, you know, I'm going straight. So Pastor Vincent's going to take me to St. Vincent with him. Yeah. But dear sister came up to me and said, Reverend Cohen, would you like to have a turkey sandwich after you finish preaching? So I said, sure. You know, I mean, look at me. You think I'm going to... If you think that I'm going to turn food down, you're crazy. But here's the thing, Bishop. I could get a turkey sandwich right across the street. I could get a turkey sandwich in any delicatessen, right? I thought she was going to say to me, Reverend Cohen, we got some jerk chicken, some oxtail, some curry goat, maybe some, you know, stewed turkey. That's what I'm looking for. Every time since I've been back, guess what we've eaten? Last time, Reverend Benjamin and I left there bow-legged. We ate so much stewed chicken and curry goat and jerk chicken that we had to walk out of there like we were chicken. You know, I can also, you know, no problem, Mon. Don't judge a book by its color, brother. I've been around. Man, when I went to Hanover to preach, forget about it. Man. You know, in Hanover's in the country. You know where that is in Jamaica? You do know, right? Yeah. Man, it was so hot there, I'll tell you, boy. Woo. See, I'm not well in my body right now. You know, but I don't stop preaching. I might not be able to preach with the fire that I usually do because I'm not well. But that don't stop me to preach. People stay home because they got a little headache. Right? I had a heart attack. Reverend Benjamin will verify that a year and a half ago. I was in the hospital. By the way, they misdiagnosed me in one hospital. They said, you're fine. So I was walking around with a heart attack for 2 weeks. Finally, I went to another hospital, and he says, you got a heart attack. I said, oh, thank you. Right? But I had no peace. How many know that the Lord says, my peace I give unto you? Amen. Right. So Reverend Benjamin was in the emergency room with a couple of the brethren there, and I said, you got to pray for me because I need peace. We prayed right in the emergency room. I got the peace. Next day I was down in Columbia Presbyterian. They put 3 stents in me. I got out of the hospital. See, somebody needs to hear this. I got out of the hospital on a Saturday. Sunday, I was in Westbury, Long Island, preaching. 2 people got saved. Right. 3 days later, I took an Amtrak train up by Plattsburgh, New York, upstate New York. Preached on a Wednesday night, a Friday night, a Sunday morning. Took the train back. I have a television program. Did the television program on Tuesday morning in White Plains, New York. And 3 weeks later, I was back in, thank God, for that's a good hospital. If you got to go, go there. That's a good hospital. Yeah, Columbia Presbyterian. Especially if you got a heart condition. They got their own building now. They're good. They put another stent in. Yeah, they like to put stents in me, you know. Matter of fact, I says, how come you only put one in? I thought you were supposed to put 2 more. He says, no, just one. I got out on a Friday. Sunday, I preached in the church. 4 days later, I was in Grenada. Any Grenadians here? Ah! I was in your country for 8 days. It was so hot, it was hotter than hot. It would be nice if you had 1 fan in the churches there. I'm not asking for an air conditioner. I'm just asking for uno fan. 1 fan. Not 100. You know, I did have a heart attack a month before. I have 4 stents in me, and I would like to have a little cool weather. And I got off the plane. I was ready to go back home. But how many know God's grace is sufficient? Amen. He'll give you the grace. So I only preached 8 nights in a row, 3 different churches. Man, One church, we went by, I don't know, rainforest. We drove so far. I mean, it was like, forget it. I said, when am I going to get there, Pastor? I'm exhausted, you know, over there. 17 kids got saved the last meeting we had. Went to the school, talked to the 13-year-old boys about Jesus. Did 2 TV interviews, a radio interview. Then I talked to a whole bunch of men at a breakfast about my testimony. Got on my plane. Got home midnight, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, I was in the Bronx preaching. See, the Holy Spirit never told me not to go. My flesh didn't want to go. But God's called me to preach. And I didn't want to go to Grenada, I tell you the truth. I was here 13 years ago. My love is Trinidad. But now, you know, I always thought the Trinidadian people cook better than the Jamaican people. Man, I said that a couple of times. I thought they were going to come out with tomatoes and eggs at me, man. But I found out that, you know, I think Jamaican people got it over the Trinidadian people. So give your hand clap for praise, hallelujah, for your own self. I never even knew what breakfast we had when I was over in Jamaica there. They had so much lovely stuff there. Anyways, Reverend Benjamin is going to come. He's going to tell you a little bit about the ministry. And my voice, I just found out, besides the other things in my body, I have an acute bronchitis, and it's acute. It's not cute. It's acute, along with the acid reflux that I have. They get along really well together to cause havoc in your stomach. And by the way, when I shook your hand like this over here, my whole right arm is full of Uncle Arthur. You know who Uncle Arthur is? Uncle Arthritis. So I got a heart condition too, but hallelujah. You know what that means, Bishop? That means that all these ailments that I have, I can't wait, God, to heal one by one so I can give him the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Sit down, Benjamin. One more thing. Now, I know there's a lot of Grenadians here, which is kind of unusual. You might even outnumber the Jamaicans. But I was preaching over there. See, I'm a Jew, right? And I go to Jamaica, right? See, I'm the chosen one. You're grafted in. I can't help that. I'm sorry. I'm the number one. You're the number two. Together, we're both number one, okay? We're a royal priesthood, right? So I'm preaching in the Bronx over there, and some lady goes to me, "Hey, you!" She yells out, "Jamaican!" She says, "Jamaican!" Because I've been, most of the pastors I preach for are from Jamaica, and I'm a Jew, so they call me Jamaican. So how many of you are Jamaican? Raise your hand. Okay? You are a Jamaican, and you follow a who? A Jew. Jesus is Jewish. So you are a Jamaican and a Jamaican. So you're both. Hallelujah. A Jamaican and a Jamaican. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So you don't want to get, you want to get off medicine? Just make the joy of the Lord your strength. Hallelujah. Reverend Benjamin.
Praise the Lord. God is good
all the time.
Thank God we've been adopted into the family of God. God the Father wanted to have children, so he sent his son. Planted his son in the earth that through him his spirit could come and live in us. Thank God we have the spirit of adoption and we're sons and daughters of the living God. Reverend Cohen, the Lord is developing a message. I don't know if he may not preach it today, but the church has an orphan spirit and needs to be cast out. We need to know that we're sons and daughters. We need to know that we know that we know that we're sons and daughters of the living God. Reverend Cohen, the Lord is, he's been ministering 12 years now, full-time in the ministry. The Lord called him. He got him fired from a job that he couldn't have gotten fired from. He was doing the Love Express. How many have heard of the Love Express in New York? He was doing the Westchester edition in upstate New York. And got a letter from his boss saying, "You're fired." And that was the condition that the fleece that Reverend Joseph had put out, that he would go full-time in the ministry, if the Lord wanted him to go full-time in the ministry. And that fleece was answered. And his head gave him difficulty because it was just before 9/11. And then 9/11 happened, and you know the enemy was coming against his brain, saying, "You stupid, you're going full-time in the ministry," and all this. But anyway, the Lord has set him in the church as an evangelist. You know, with every office, even in the pastoral office, there's an anointing that goes with the office. to do the job. Pastor, you're equipped to do the job, and there's an anointing to do that job, that responsibility, amen? And as Reverend Cohen has that evangelistic anointing, and with that anointing becomes miracles and healings. So believe God today when he ministers that healings and miracles manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Also, at the end of the service, we have a table that we've set up. Because he's full-time in the ministry, if you buy anything on the table, you're help supporting him in the ministry. And it's good, believe me, it's good soil. I mean, people get saved and delivered and set free, and people come to Jesus through the ministry. You know, I'm a witness. So please avail yourself. There's gifts there. There's plaques, Good Mother's Day gifts, Grandmother Day gifts. There's children's books out there. The Lord gave Reverend Cohen a TV program, opened up the door for him to interview people, and they give their stories on cable television. And people can watch the stories on his website. There's about 12 to 14 stories that they can watch. And the Lord gave Reverend Joseph the idea to put a card out saying, you know, would you be interested in learning about people having a relationship with Jesus? You can look it up. Just take the card, and you can go to that website, and it tells you how to do it, and go to the television tab and scroll down and see the stories. Amen? Watch the stories. It's a good witnessing tool. And just like mothers are doors, my mom is a door. I came to Jesus Christ because my mom arranged for me to go to Bible studies. And I'm grateful for my mom. Hallelujah. She's 96 and still alive. Also, you can watch the program here in Brooklyn at 1 a.m. in the morning, 1:30 a.m. on Time Warner, Cablevision, RNC, or Verizon. And so you can avail yourself of this information in the back. Monday morning, right? One Monday morning. If you can't sleep at night, just turn on and you can watch it and you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Believe God, believe the Lord. As Reverend Cohen comes, Reverend Joseph comes to give the word, and you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
You know, I can also sing Caribbean. Jesus is a winner man, a winner man, a winner man. Jesus is a winner man all the time. He's a winner man, 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 a winner man all the time. Satan is a loser man, a loser man, a loser man. Satan is a loser man all the time. He's a loser man, 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 a loser man. A loser man, a loser man, a loser man, a loser man, a loser man all the time. Go like this. We are on the winning side, the winning side, the winning side. We are on the winning side all the time. The winning side, 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 winning side all the time. Give yourselves a hand clap. Hallelujah. All right. I love when God always confirms the word that I'm supposed to preach. It's like boom, it always happens. Our brothers both sang songs today about talking about if you're down. Those of you who have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and going to read the beginning of verse 3. There 43, 1, 2, and the beginning of 3. And one scripture from Psalm 91, verse 7. You should know that scripture. When you get that, please stand for the reading of the word. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. Psalm 91, verse 7. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Say, thou art mine.
Thou art mine.
Say it again.
Thou art mine.
Say it for the Holy Ghost.
Thou art mine.
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Psalm 91, verse 7. 1,000 will fall on thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to use for a title to the message today: you might be down, but with Jesus, you're never out. There was a woman named Hannah. Great woman of the Bible, loved God, wanted a child, was barren. Now, her husband had another wife. Men, that was back then. And she was laughing and mocking at Hannah because she couldn't have a child. People might be laughing and mocking at you. They know that you're a believer in Christ. Where's your God? How come you're in this situation? How come you're not healed in your body? How come you're lacking finances? How come you're if your God was so big and so great and so wonderful, why are you in the condition that you're in? Mocking, laughing. Well, this woman did that to Hannah. And what did Hannah do? She cried more to the Lord. You got to take what the devil wakes for evil, and the way you turn it around for good is give it to the Lord, leave it in his hands, and let God fight your battles. Because when God fights your battles, you have already won. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Matter of fact, Eli thought she was drunk because her lips were stammering, but nothing was coming out of her mouth. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Nothing was coming out of her mouth because it was in her heart. She was groaning. She was groaning. And he thought she was drunk. She wanted a child so bad. But she was barren. But then she made a pledge to God. She said, if you give me this child. See, she was down. She was out. The other wife, Bishop, was having children. And she was wondering, I love God. Why is this happening unto me? Let me tell you something. Things that happen to us when we serve God is allowed by God, like he allowed Job to lose 10 children at once. Job was the most powerful man of God, most mighty man of God in the East, the most upright man. He loved God with all his heart, his mind, and his soul. But even though he didn't understand what happened to him, he was faithful to God. He was a servant of God. He took care of the widows. He took care of the orphans. He took care of the children. He blessed people. He said, if I didn't do these things, then these things should happen unto me. The Bible says that Job took up a cause that he did not know. He was a friend to the poor, and yet he was a wealthy, wealthy man. But he held on to the horns of the altar, brother. He would not let go. Don't you let go. Things might not be the way you'd like them to be. It might even be worse now than it was when you were first saved. The children might be in rebellion. The husband might be out there going, doing wrong things. Your wife might not be saved. The grandkids might be going crazy. There might be hardship on your job. You might have physical ailments in your body. You just do what the Bible says: in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You need to just say, Lord, you are my master. You are my father. You will take care of me. I'm going to trust you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So when she said, I will give my son to you. I will dedicate my son to you. In other words, give me a child, Lord, and I just want to experience that birth, but I'm going to give that child back to you. So you're giving me a child, but yet I'm going to lose that child. Wow. Like Abraham. Abraham was ready to kill his child, only child, because he knew what God's promises were. Amen. That he was going to make him a father of many nations, and that it was going to be more than all the stars that are in the sky. So he knew that if he had to kill his son, God would raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. But thousands and thousands of years later, hallelujah, there was a man named Jesus that God killed, hallelujah. He allowed the enemy to kill him through men of Jewish people and Roman soldiers, but then God raised him from the dead. So that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so what happened was is that she got the child. And what she did is that she did not go with her husband up to the house of the Lord to go every year. They had a sacrifice. She says, I'm going to be with my child. I'm going to breastfeed him and wean my child. And then once I do, I'm going to give him to the man of God, to Eli. And that's what happened. She had the child until she weaned it, and she gave her child away. What are you holding on today that God wants? What are you holding on today that's so strong in your life that God wants? See, God doesn't need your money. But when God gets your money, he has your heart. Amen. See, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He owns all the silver and gold. See, man shall not live by money alone, the world, but everything that God has for you. What are you holding back on God? Your time, your talents, your gifts. See, when you could just say, Lord, I'm giving everything to you at the altar. I'm putting it down. I'm letting go. And I'm not going to be an Indian giver and take it back. Brother, how would you like for I gave you a nice diamond ring to wear, a nice one for Christmas? And then next day I come back and I say, I'm sorry. Give me it back. I gave it to the wrong person. How would you feel? How do you think God feels when we give him our situations in our life? We give them our circumstances. We give them all the things and then we take it back. Right? Bible said, fear not. Do you know it says 365 times in the word, fear not? One for each day of the year. God don't know nothing about leap years. You think God's trying to say something? Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know how many times Hannah saw her son after that? Once a year. When she made him a coat and brought it up when it was time to go to the house of the Lord when they sacrificed the animal. Let go and God will bless you. She gave God her son, and God grew in favor with God and man, and he became a mighty prophet of Israel. And then God gave Hannah five more children. Three boys and two girls. So whatever you're holding on, give it to God. Let God bless it. Let God turn it around for you. And God will give you so much it'll be pressed down, shaken together, running over. But you got to trust God in your trials. When you're down, when you're out. She was down and out, man. She was crying, please, God, give me a child. She was pain. Her soul was grieving. How many of you have children that you're grieving for, but you won't give them over to God? You try to fix it yourself. Let me tell you something. They've heard so much Bible from your mouth, it's like eating five steaks. Live the life. Let your light so shine that all will see Christ in you and say, geez, my mother's different. My father's different. You know, they're not bugging me about going to church. They're not bugging me about getting saved. You know, there's something different. Listen, storms will come. Hurricanes will come. Floods will come. Natural disasters will come. Mudslides will come. Avalanches will come. And when they do, there are some people that die. But the massive don't die. Let me tell you something. When the storms of life come against you, you don't have to die. You don't have to wither up. You don't have to be one that's doom and gloom, full of depression and oppression. You can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to thank you that my family is going to get saved. I'm going to believe you that I'm going to get work. I'm going to get a better job. I'm going to get a pay raise. I thank you, God, you're healing my body now. As Reverend Benjamin said in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed them. You got any affliction in your body, you can start thanking God that the word is touching your body and healing you now. See, God wants you to go through the valley with peace. Not worry. He wants you to go with peace. Isaiah 26:3. I will give him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusts in me. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you shall have peace. In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Whenever Jesus came, and there was a time where the disciples were fearful, he said, be of good cheer. The Apostle Paul told the 276 men on the boat when there was no sun, there was no moon, there was no stars for days, he said, be of good cheer. The angels of the Lord, of whom I am and who I serve, came to me tonight and said that everything's going to be all right. The boat's going to be damaged, but you're going to be saved. You stay in the boat and you will be saved from your aggravation of fear and worry and the trepidation. Be in the boat with Jesus. Because when you're anchored in the rock of your salvation, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. And one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Why? Because God says his eye is on you, and you are the apple of his eye. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's word says that he has promised you victory. Victory. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. What God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above and beyond all that could ask or think, according to the power that works within. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. God always takes care of his people. You, which are born by me from the belly. I think everybody here was born from the belly. Which are carried from the womb. You know, God's carried you from the womb. Even to your old age and gray hair. Listen to this now, church. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. I will, God says. I will, God says. I will. Not my will, but his will. You just say, look, I don't understand this, Lord. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm not going to move to the left. I'm not going to move to the right. I'm going to look to the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy endured the cross. I'm going to look to the hills. Whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Three times he says he's going to sustain us. He'll not go back on his promises. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43, verse 2. There will be afflictions in life. Afflictions of waters, afflictions of fire, but God will be there. He's in the midst of the fire. He's in the midst of the storm. He's in the midst of the tribulations. He's in the midst of the trials. He's in the midst of everything that is in your heart and your life. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are right before him. Do you know that during the trials and tribulations you're going through, that God is strengthening your heart? I don't care what situation you're going through, God will give you the grace to go higher than what your problem is. God is higher than your problem. God is mightier than your problem. And God wants the praise and the glory and the honor. In verse 1 of 43, it says that he is the creator, our father. He's our savior and friend. And then he says over there in Romans 8:28, for we know that we know that we know all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. He called you by name. Do you know he knew your name before that he ever created the world? Do you know that he knew everything about you before you were ever born? He knew every disappointment that you've had up to today. From when before you were in your mother's womb. He knew every blessing that you had before you had up to. Do you know he knows exactly if you're going to die or the rapture is going to take place? He knew who your mother was going to be. He knew your father was going to be. He knew what color he was going to make you. He knew everything about you. Your life has been mapped out before the foundations of the world. The only thing you need to do is tap into what he has for you. Look at when there's two spies, the 12 spies, they went out into the land of Canaan. They saw the big giants. They saw that it was impossible in the natural. 10 men came back with a bad report. Two spies, hallelujah, Joshua and Caleb said, we can take these people because it's not about us. It's about our God. And if you know that your God is able, and he said that he that began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. If God is for you, who could be against you? If you know that in your spirit, you'll give it over to God and say, God, I don't care what the enemy throws against me. I'm not moving. I'm looking right at you, the author and finisher of my faith, and I'm believing you and trusting you. Listen what it says in Psalm 139, 15 and 16. That's what it says. It says, all our days were written when there were none. When God says you are mine, it's not like a man and a woman going to the altar and getting married, saying these, I love you, honey. Ooh. For richer or poor, sickness and health, to death do us part. I love you, baby. 6 months later, where's baby? When God says you are mine, you are mine. I don't care what the devil has told people through you, through them to you. When you're growing up, you're no good. You'll never make any in life. Why aren't you like your brother? Why don't you go to college? You're stupid. You're dumb. You're no good. You're fat. You're ugly. Those are all lies from the devil. God don't make no junk, and God don't make no mistake. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Listen, this outer shell is dying daily, but the inward man is being renewed daily. Hallelujah. You are a trophy in the sight of God. Let me tell you something, ladies. They got billions of dollars they make each year with Max Factor and all those cosmetics, that stuff that you put on your face that makes you try to look prettier. Do you know that everyone here, if you're born again, there's nobody more beautiful in the world than you? You know why? Because the beautiful one, the Holy Ghost, is living in you. I've seen some old-time saints, man, in the 80s and 90s. They got no wrinkles on their face. They look like they've been 50, 60 years old. They're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You are special. Look at your hands. Look at your hands. Look at your hands. Not my face. Your hands. What do you see? You see skin. You see lines. You see color. What don't you see? Fingerprints. That's what happens when they go to prison and they take the bad guys. What do? So they could know in the data who it is, because there's only one set of fingerprints for anybody that was ever born in this world. That's how special you are to God. One set of fingerprints, they're yours. Yeah, we've done bad things. We've blown it. We've hurt people. People have hurt us. That's why we forgive. That's why we thank God for the blood of Jesus. He says if we can't forgive people, he can't forgive us. Right? Who are we? But God says you're special. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are kings and queens and priests unto God. He says, you are mine. Do you know what God wants? Now, don't take this literally. It's nice to own a house, right? But it's a lot of problems when stuff goes wrong. The same day, the washing machine breaks. The refrigerator breaks. You got the roof leaking. The dryer doesn't work. Guess what it's going to cost? Money. Isn't it easier to rent? Call the landlord up. Say, hey, man, come on, fix my washing machine. Oh, by the way, you need a new roof. Yeah, you need a new roof. Look, it's leaking there, you know? There's cracks are coming through. You got mildew over it. Isn't it easier to rent than to own a house? God wants you to be a renter in the kingdom of God. He wants to own the house. He wants to own you. He wants to own everything about you. He wants you to give him everything because he wants you to take. He wants to take all of that stuff that's in your life that's negative, and he wants you to put it on his shoulders. Why? Because he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Listen, children learn from their parents who they are. The fingerprints is and DNA tells who you are. Our DNA is the blood of Jesus. When we accept the blood of Jesus as the atonement for our sins, that DNA and fingerprints of who we are a child of God. Listen to what happened during the plagues with Moses and how God protected his children. Listen, God knows nothing about an economy that has a hard time. He doesn't know anything about that. He's got all the money in the world. God's got all, he's the greatest employment agency there is. God will take care of you no matter how bad this country goes, because this country's going to get worse because we've forgotten God and we're picking up all different types of other religions and everything's tolerable and everything is acceptable and homosexual marriages are the thing now, and God forbid you say something against it, you look like you're a dog when God says in his word that, you know, thank God for the mercy and grace of God, because in the Old Testament, under the law, they were killed. If somebody caused a woman to have a lose her baby in the Old Testament, they were killed. In the New Testament, we thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. But these people are blinded who are making the laws in the courts and in this
One, two.
Hey, give me that one too. Save me with his power. You have another one, brother? Fix that one. Give me that. Be the glory for the thing he has done. Hallelujah. He's a liar and the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. Hallelujah. There's a first for everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We trust God. So listen to what happened during the plagues. Okay? In Exodus chapter 8, verse 22, God gave a plague of flies. The Bible says that the flies that invaded Pharaoh's house with all his servants and all the land of Egypt, but he protected all the Jewish people from getting flies. Now, I don't know about you. When I go to a restaurant and I have one fly there by my food, I am nuts. I can't wait. I am nuts. Imagine having flies all over at you. Not one Jew had the fly at them. Exodus 9:6, talking about the cattle. All cattle died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one died. Do you know God knows if you're a child of God? Amen. Do you know that? He knows every hair you have on your head or every hair you used to have. Mm. He knows if you're wearing your own hair or somebody else's hair. Don't you think he don't know it? Let me tell you something, sister. He knows, and he loves you with the hair or without it. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Listen to the hail. You know, in Revelation, it talks about the hail and the last seven plagues that God's going to give is going to make the first seven plagues, the 10 plagues that God put on the Egyptians, it's going to look like a picnic. There's going to be 100-pound boulders coming down, 100-pound boulders of hail. And the Bible says in Exodus 9:22, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was there no hail. God's going to protect you in the storm. He's going to protect you in the fire. He's going to protect you in the river. Hallelujah. Exodus 12:13, the blood, hallelujah, of a lamb protected the children of Israel, who God killed, the firstborn of every Egyptian. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you know, not only every human being that was the firstborn child of in Egypt was killed, but every firstborn animal was killed. See? God has his hand upon you. Don't think because situations and circumstances have not changed. Don't think because God hasn't come in and answered your prayer. Don't think that because things have gotten worse that, hallelujah, God's not on your side. Because God is working it out, hallelujah. He's looking for the praise. He's looking to be glorified. Listen, in Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel, they glorified God almost the whole chapter. But that's after they came through the Red Sea. God wants you to praise him before you go to the Red Sea. And let me tell you something, hallelujah, the Red Sea was opened up, and it was a highway to safety through the Jewish people. But when the Egyptians went through that Red Sea, it was a graveyard to them. I don't care what the devil puts at you, that you could have a 9-foot-6 Goliath in your life now, many of them against you. God will get a David to slay that Goliath. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're running a little late, hallelujah, I'm only going to give you about 2 or 3 more examples and then we're going to close. Jehoshaphat was going to be destroyed by, hallelujah, by Israel. In 2 Chronicles 20:12, what happened was is that there was 3 armies that were more than the sea, sand of the sea. They came against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat got all the children. He got all the wives, and he got them, and then what they did is they just had a fast. And after they had a fast, Jehoshaphat went before God, and he started to tell God who he is. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You brought the children of Israel through the land, through the desert. You are on our side, God. You help them. Hallelujah. And you're going to help us. And this is what he said in 2 Chronicles 20:12. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Once you can tell God, I have no might in any of the situations in my life, you're giving God permission to work. And then he says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then the Lord sent a prophet in the midst of them. And this is what the prophet said in verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 20. You need not fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of your God, for the Lord will be with you. They had no idea what they were going to do. But when they heard that word, they started to praise the Lord. And the next day when they got up, Jehoshaphat, they started to praise the Lord again. And when they praised the Lord again, God set an ambush against those people. They were going out to sea. God told them where to go. They were going to go out and see. They didn't know if they were going to have to go to battle or not. But when they went out to see them, God set an ambush. Two of the armies killed the other army, and then they both killed themselves. And you know what they did? They picked up for 3 days. They picked up all the spoils, all the jewelry, hallelujah, the watches, the rings, the necklaces, and they took it, hallelujah, and the fourth day they set up an altar to God. They praised God, and as long as Jehoshaphat was in charge, there was peace in the land. God wants to give you peace when you trust him, when you lean not unto your own understanding. You'll have the peace. You'll have the victory. David had no problem with Goliath because in 1 Samuel 14:16, when he was even younger, he said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, and he shall deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He shall." Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. Have faith and doubt not. Thy faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. Faith, hallelujah, is what God is looking for. When the Son of Man comes to earth, will he find faith? And then what happened was, David picked up 5 stones. I believe that he had 5 stones because if Goliath had 4 other brothers, one of them would have went boom, 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 boom. The Holy Ghost would knock them all dead. Let me tell you something. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defile the army of the living God? Today your head's going to be into the carcass." He knew because he walked by faith. Are you walking by faith? Are you talking by faith? Are you living by faith? Are you trusting by faith? If you are, you have the victory. Hallelujah. The victory's already won through the blood of the Lord. The war is over. Even though the battle goes on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to what Moses said. Here's the Red Sea. Moses, again, he prophesied. Because he knew who his God was. In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, he says almost the exact same thing that the prophet came in the midst and told Jehoshaphat, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. The Egyptians ye shall see no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw that fiery furnace. It was turned up 7 times. But you know the men who turned up that furnace 7 times hotter? They were majors and colonels and generals. And they were in Nebuchadnezzar's army. And they were all destroyed. Your enemies will go down. Hallelujah. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "Listen, we know that in their hearts they were like Job. We know our Redeemer liveth, and in that last day I shall see him." They said, "Listen, King Nebuchadnezzar, you got to listen to me. Let's have a little fireside chat." Fire with the fire, right? "We're not bowing down to that 90-foot, 6-feet wide statue of yours. We're not worshiping you. If our God wants to rescue us, he'll do it. And if it not, it don't matter, because he didn't say this, but in their hearts they knew that they were going to be with the Lord, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Let me say something to you. The trials and tribulations that you're going through, God might not deliver you from them. You might have to go through the fire, but you'll not be burned. And the fourth man in that fire was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they went in, they were bound up. Many of you are bound up in your souls today. You're bound up with fear. You're bound up with unbelief. You're bound up with depression. You're bound up with worry. Let me tell you something. When you're in the fire and Jesus is there and the fiery furnace is burning within you, when you get out of that fire, hallelujah, you'll be loosed. The feet were loosed. The hands were loosed. They were free. There was no smell of smoke on their coat. They had their turbans intact. They didn't even have any smell of smoke on their hair. Why? Because the Lord is a protector. The Lord is a healer. The Lord is a deliverer. Here's the key to everything in your life. In Psalm 16:11, this is what it says. This is the path of life. In his presence, that's where you get the victory. Spending time in God's presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. You know what his pleasures are? His pleasures are is to take care of you. But you can't know it if you're not in his presence, because this flesh is going to act up, and this flesh is going to say, it's not possible. God's not going to do it. How come he didn't do it? When you're down, yes, we get down, but we don't get cast out, hallelujah, because Jesus is with us, hallelujah. Listen to these scriptures here. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up. Do you know when there's a boxer who's a champion, and he's a champion for a long time, you know how he becomes champion? He's got good people around him. He's got good trainers. He's got people that know the sport. So he's in good physical condition. Our physical condition is the Word of God. Our training is going and having people that are older than us in the Lord to counsel with us, to pray with us, to pray with sisters and brothers in the Lord. And what happened is this champion, this boxer, he might get knocked down, but he's not going to lose the fight by getting knocked out. He might lose by a decision, but very rarely, if at all, has the champion been knocked out. You're going to get knocked down, but because you are champions for Jesus, you're going to get up, hallelujah, and God's going to pick you up here. Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. 1 Samuel 2:9, he will keep the feet of the saints, hallelujah. Psalm 27:10. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Your name is engraved in the palm of God's hand. You know what the scripture says? Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. How many has a footstool at home? You have one? You sit down, you put your 2 feet on the stool. God got some big feet. His feet, the earth is his footstool. Your name is engraved in the palm of his hand. God got some big hands. Your walls are ever before him. You know, they got tattoos. Everybody's all tattooed. I'm tattooed for Jesus. I don't know about you. John loves Mary. Big across his chest. Then 6 months later, he don't know where Mary is. So now he's got to get something that hurts worse to get it off. And then John sees Florence. Florence is looking good. Florence, would you be my girlfriend? Oh, sure, John. A year and a half later, Florence is gone. Florence got to come off. But your name is engraved in the palm of God's hand. Tattoo is different than an engraved man. We'll close with this. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the just a shadow of death. Do you know that Jesus is the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon? Do you know there's no lilies and no roses of Sharon on the mountaintop? It's in the valley, but it's not death. It's the shadow of death. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my Lord. I will trust in you. If you were blessed, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You might be down, but with Jesus, you're never out. Is there one here today that say, preacher, you know, I need to get my life right with God? See, the thing is that everybody who was ever born from Adam until the end of time is going to live forever. I don't know if you ever thought about that. But the soul lives forever. Two places. Eternally with the Lord or eternally in the lake of fire. That's the final destination. A lake that burns forever. I don't know about you, but when I burn my finger on a pot, I'm going to get the cold water. Imagine having your soul 100 billion years from now crying out in pain because you refused to come to Jesus. See, hell was not made for man. Hell in the lake of fire was made for Satan and the fallen angels and the demons. But those who reject Christ, his blood, God has no other course but to send an individual to a place that is so horrible, so torturous, that the Bible doesn't do justice to say how bad it is. On the other hand, heaven is so wonderful and marvelous, the Bible doesn't do justice to say how wonderful and marvelous heaven is. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Joshua says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give one example, and then I'm going to, if somebody wants to come up and get saved, you can. Hopefully you'll come and not reject the altar call. There was a pastor's daughter that sat in the front pew every Sunday, and she was not born again. And what happened was, is that there was an evangelist that came in town. They had a tent meeting. And he didn't know who this girl was. But she got up and she was leaving the tent, and the word of knowledge came to the evangelist, and he said, "Don't you leave this tent. Come back here." She had 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. See, Satan doesn't want people to go to heaven because he knows how beautiful it is, because that's where his home was. Until Isaiah 14:12 tells us that he tried to overthrow God and God kicked him out of heaven with 1/3 of the angels. So he'll do anything he can to keep people away from Jesus. See, Satan is a god in this, of this world who's never enough. There's never enough money, never enough drugs, never enough partying, never enough sex. It's all empty. God is a god of more than enough. He's got more than enough peace. He's got more than enough joy. He's got more than enough contentment for you and fulfillment. So this pastor's daughter made a decision. And she decided to not listen to the man of God, and she left the tent. Within 10 minutes, she was killed by a motorcycle. Went straight to hell. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart if you hear the voice of the Lord calling. Is there one here today say, "Preacher, I want to give my heart to Christ. I'm not born again. You know, I come to church maybe. You know, maybe some people, you know, when you're not saved, a lot of people go to church Mother's Day, Christmas, and Easter. But in your heart, if you don't have that relationship with Christ, see, nobody, the only people that go to heaven is people who have the Holy Ghost in them. Holy Spirit people go to heaven. That's it. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in you and something happened to you today, tomorrow, the next day, you're going right to hell. And let me tell you, hell is wicked. God so loved you that he died for you on the cross. Is there one that would say, I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to become born again. I want to be a child. She has a plan for you. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic, compulsive gambler. You heard what Bishop read. Let me tell you, 7 days before I got saved, January 1st, 1978, I got up and for breakfast, I drank a quarter of a bottle of scotch, no ice, no water. I looked in the mirror. I knew I was dying. I had written a suicide note 2 months before, 2 years before. I had no hope. I did everything there. Cocaine, pot, everything except heroin. You know, I don't like needles. You know, she gives a sugar count here, and she pricks my finger like this over here. I'm like this. Come on. The last one, she pricked it so hard, man, I still gave a little shout. And it wasn't a Holy Ghost shout either. God saved me, because I would have shot heroin like some of my friends did, and I would have been dead. 7 days later, he delivered me totally from everything. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, 37, 6.5 years now, nothing. Clean by the power of God. But God's still working on my evil heart that we all have. It's wicked and deceitful. See, God wants to do surgery. He wants us to give him permission to take the knife and cut out the junk that's hidden. Is there one that would say, "Preacher, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord. To give you a hope and a future, to give you peace and not evil." Listen, I was a drunk. You think I knew that God had a plan for me to go around the world and preach the gospel as a Jew? Right? God's got a plan for your life, and Satan wants to do everything he can to keep you from coming to Christ and having God do that plan in your life. Is there one here today say, "Preacher, I know I need Jesus." A lot of people go to church for the wrong reason. "Pastor, I'm looking me for a nice man. I don't want no bar lady. I'm looking for me for a nice church lady." Right. "Well, I got to go to church because mama tell me I got to go." You know. "Well, I can see my friends at church. It's nice." We all got to go before God on Judgment Day. Nobody escapes judgment. There's two judgments. The Bible says, blessed and holy is those that are in the first judgment. They will not receive the second death. The first judgment is when those that are born again believers go before God and be rewarded for what they did for Christ here on earth. The second judgment's 1,000 years later in Revelation chapter 20, where death and hell give up the dead, and they go before God, and they'll be judged by their works and cast into the lake of fire. Is there one here today that wants to get their heart right with God? Want to come to the child of God? You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired because you're doing the same thing over and over, and you're getting the same results. Nothing changes. Is there one? So I want to come to Christ. I want to be a child of God. I want to become born again. Today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart if you hear the voice of the Lord calling. Is there one? Is there one? One. They'll have a big party in heaven. We'll have a big party in heaven. Give her a hand, please. Let me tell you how the party is. The Bible says that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him from the cross. We don't even know how many angels there are in heaven. But when one sinner comes home, they have a party. On May 11th, 2014, Bishop, the angels in heaven are having a party, hallelujah, because this young lady has come home. She was blind and now she sees. She was lost and now she's found. She was a child of the devil and now she's a child of God. Do you know that if you're not born again, your father's the devil? I don't know if you know that. Because if you don't have the father, you don't have the son. See? Is there somebody else that would say, you know, I need Jesus? See, I don't have to tell you how to do bad. Evil is ingrained in our life. But this world doesn't teach us how to live. It teaches us how to make a living. One more. Young or old? They're having a party right now. When I was in Trinidad, I think about my third time preaching there, the Lord told me there's a woman somebody's going to commit suicide after church. Tell them that. Come to Jesus. Come see me after church. Nobody came. The devil says, you fool. You put that out and nobody's coming for Christ. I says, you're a liar, devil. A woman came up, young girl in her 20s. She had more problems and situations in her life than somebody lived 70 years. She gave her life to Christ. I think 2 years ago was the last time I was in Trinidad. I saw her with a 6-year-old daughter teaching her daughter about Jesus. She never had a birthday party in her life. She never had her parents speak to her since she was a little girl. She was the youngest of the oldest of the kids, and she was a slave in that house. But once she came to Christ, she had the greatest party that was ever there. Is there one more that will say, I want to come to Christ and give my life to Jesus? What's your name?
Danielle.
In our life, Danielle, we have a lot of decisions to make. Decisions every day. Some are important, some aren't. There's never a decision that you ever had made or will make that's more important than what you did now. What you did now is you're giving your heart to Christ. You're giving your life to Jesus, and Jesus is going to give you his life. And you're going to be now a child of God. He'll be your father. He's your friend. He'll never hurt you. He'll always be with you. He'll take care of you. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. Yes, there'll be trials. There'll be tribulations. It's not a rose garden. But it's the only way. It's the right way. And you, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their soul? Congratulations. And I just want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day where you've called me back to yourself. I understand I'm a sinner and I deserve your worst. But in your mercy and in your grace, you have now given me your best, your son Jesus. He died for me so that I can live and I can live for you. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come now into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Now I am your daughter. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm in the best hands that I could be. In Jesus' name.